Drinking mud over here. Welcome to 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin, and we are here on another Tuesday night edition of the show. Excited for this one in particular. Glenn, talking about what we got going on tonight. Something a little extra for the folks.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we got former Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Raven, Anthony Mitchell, joined the show. Former safety here in Baltimore. Spent a few years here as an undrafted free agent out of Tuskegee College. And, of course, most people see his name a lot in the media as of late because his son, Keaton Mitchell, burst on the scene last week and has really been the darling of every national news, sports news station as of late. So, man, excited to get – I mean, look, Anthony Mitchell played on the greatest defense of all time, a defense that's being compared to a lot here lately, at least around in Baltimore, with the defense that's currently here. And so it'll be awesome to kind of get his take on the comparisons between these two great defenses, but also – get to learn a little bit about Keaton Mitchell and what kind of guy he is. I mean, we saw at least glimpses of what type of player he is, but it'll be good to know. Like you said, Jimbo, everybody's on the hype train. We got the conductor right on the show.
Mm-hmm. I cannot wait, man. I'm so excited. Like you said, it's crazy because, you know, I'm sure the headline.
Hey, Jimbo, turn down your gain a little bit, dude. You're coming in hot.
Sorry, how's that?
That's better.
It's funny because my gain light was red.
Dude, you had that jacked up, bro.
I'm sorry, because I move my mixer up and down off the ground for when I'm working, and I think sometimes when I do it, I move it. So, apologies.
It's all good.
I'm just really excited.
That's right.
No. I was gonna say though, I'm sure for the majority of his retired life, the headline has been just like you said, Super Bowl champ. Right now, it's Keaton Mitchell's dad.
Yep, that's right. I can't wait to ask him what feels better, you know, going through that as the player or watching your son do what he did on last Sunday.
I mean, I think you already know the answer, right?
I do, but he climbed to the highest of heights. You're talking Super Bowl with the best defense of all time.
Yeah.
Playing with a couple years later, he got to play with a rookie Ed Reed right next to him, making picks with Ed Reed next to him. I mean,
this is the real question. Are we about to go 2 for 2 for Mitchell's winning Super Bowls with the Baltimore Ravens?
You know what I'm saying? It feels like it might be one of those years here in Baltimore.
Are you taking that trade?
Oh, I'm taking it.
Are you?
I have to. I mean, I already did.
Did you? Okay.
I've been on the horn. Yeah, we've been talking. But anyway, look, they're not here to listen to
me. I don't do any of that stuff. I should probably start sometime, huh?
Well, this is my first one I've ever pulled off. Mm. Ever. Not this year. Ever.
That's right, Bobby.
Taking a little risk.
Somebody fell for the bundle, Glenn. Wait, no, you fell for the bundle.
I gave up the bundle.
Old bundle trade.
I think it's a fair trade. But anyway, look, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about your Baltimore Ravens. I can't wait to have Cole on also later on in the show to get his opinion on what he saw. I know he was super hype about what he saw from the offensive line. So I got to get his take on all things big slobber knocker. But Jimbo, I got to ask your opinion because we got some tough ones coming up with two division games back to back. And I saw somebody mentioned it, and I even commented back to them in the comments earlier. I think it was Ryan mentioned that he's not as worried about the Browns as much as it's back to back AFC North opponents in 5 days stretch.
Dude, I just got tickets today to the Browns game. Tanya and I are going.
Nice. Congratulations.
Cool. Yeah, we're excited. I'm nervous. Yeah, he did us dirty, man.
You know, you come off one North matchup to play the Bengals in a Thursday night game.
It's like, I wonder if they really like Joe Burrow. You know?
You think so? Jeez. Well, look, I just saw that Ja'Marr Chase is dealing with some sort of a back issue, which... You know, I think when you remove him from the equation, it really changes their offense in a big, big way. You take that speed threat off the field.
Well, that is true, but he hasn't done much against us.
Exactly. With him, they don't do much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But without him, they do less. So
yeah.
Let's just hope that they're as equally beat up from their Sunday game that we are.
Wait, who do they play on Sunday? Is it like a high school team or something, I'm guessing?
No, it's the Texans, if I remember. Who the Texans are playing?
Yeah, not a high school team.
So, but I do think that they're going to be the heavy favorite in that game, rightfully so, the way they're playing lately. There's just no real doubt
quick, though, how good do the Texans smell now in comparison to like 24 months ago?
Dude, D'Amico Ryans, what a great hire. You get a guy who is from, I mean, former all pro there, and you get him to totally change the culture. They draft the right guy at quarterback. They put a vet in the room with him with Case Keenum, who's just nurturing the young fella. And then they surround him with a bunch of talent. So, yeah, and they nailed their first two picks.
Who's the other kid that they took?
Will Anderson.
Yeah, Will Anderson. And then Tank. I mean, even later in the round, later, Tank has played well. Yeah, they got some players, man. And they got the right leaders in each room. Anyway, this is not a Texans podcast.
But Jimbo, do you want to give a second to flex a little bit on your success over the weekend? Yeah, any flex?
Oh, you want me to? All right, I'll show it off.
A little flex.
What's up?
I didn't know you had it. Are you wearing it? My man, dude.
No, I just got it in my office drawer because I got to figure out what to... This is how ridiculous I am. I have a bag. It's a trash bag. But I have a trash bag full of all my running paraphernalia.
Okay.
Like my medals and...
We got to get you a duffel bag.
Bibs and stuff like that. Well, I hope to one day have my office and like be able to put it up on the wall somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's right. I felt the love and cheers of all you guys out there on Sunday. And broke my personal best in the half marathon and got 26th out of 450 people. I think it's pretty dang on good.
Not bad at all. How was that pace? How was that pace, Jimbo?
7:06, baby. Went from a 7:44 to a 7:06 is my personal best. So dude, I'll take it, man. Take it. I'm just scratching the surface. Oh, yeah. Did you lose? But yeah, it was a great race. It was a beautiful race. I'd recommend anyone that's interested in visiting the Northeast, go to coastal Rhode Island, like Newport, Bristol area. It was a beautiful race, beautiful time. I told Glenn that I definitely took some souls in the second lap. And I had an absolute blast doing it. The Baltimore dog came out in me in the second lap. And I was showing the waspy folks from Rhode Island what was up, dude. So it was a good time. I appreciate you allowing me I appreciate you indulging me. Anyway, are you back? Nope, you're still not back. What about your red button?
Hey!
Hey-o.
Congratulations, Jimbo. You're an absolute monster. I mean, holy smokes, this guy a different level. But I do got to ask you also about a story popping up this week in Cleveland.
All right.
I got to get gauge your nervousness on this because Browns made a pretty big roster move today. They signed James Prochet to their active roster. Practice squad. Hold on. What are your thoughts on the fact that, you know, look, he's got some intel. He's got some definite – he can fill them in on our scheme and maybe some weaknesses in our personnel. What do you think about that for James Prochet? Active roster.
Yeah, I'm not – I mean, really?
First of all, you don't think they got the bright light in his face right now?
Yeah, but that's okay. That's fine. It doesn't bother me. I just don't think that, I don't know. Nah, I'm not concerned at all. Obviously I'm not concerned about what he's going to be doing offensively. And James is a nice
game plan for him. I guarantee it.
Wait, you think
they're going to try and get him in the end zone?
Yeah, that's fine. When it's 30-7, like get him in the end zone. Sure. I mean,
you don't think he's going to be out there. Am I really watching Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Kidd play each other in pickleball on ESPN's main channel?
Nuh-uh.
Dude, ESPN's main channel is Dirk Nowitzki against Jason Kidd playing pickleball. Okay. Sorry. That's just distracted.
That's embarrassing. You know, when you need new content, they need to call us up, dude. Just call us up if you need some content. Like, come on, man. We'll get the crowd excited. We're better than Dirty Dirk and the Kid playing pickleball.
Dude, he's a huge guy to play pickleball. I mean, he's got the wingspan.
Dude, his lateral movement is garbage. He can't be any good except his wingspan. I mean, his ankle's destroyed.
And plus, he's older. You know, this isn't a young Dirk. Right.
There's no way. If Jason Kidd loses, it's only because he's out of shape.
And he looks fine. I mean, look, he's a coach still, so he shouldn't be out of shape. I think, let's see, Asmodeus has something to say here. This past Sunday was special.
Coming in
the first time I watched football with my dad, who's recovered from a stroke. Shout out. That's awesome. Icing on the cake was him complimenting the Ravens. He doesn't compliment lightly. Well, that is awesome to hear. I appreciate you sharing. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's an old school football fan, and he's just not ready to just give out flowers for anybody. So the fact that he's giving them out to the Ravens, I think certainly says something about what this team is doing. They look to be the best. And Jimbo, I'm going to ask you the same thing. I'm going to ask Cole a little bit later, because I know Cole doesn't just watch the Ravens. Who right now, when you look around the league, because they got, you know, the AFC, I'm going to ask you more about the AFC. Who is the team that has you the most nervous? Like, obviously the Chiefs are the, that's it?
Yeah, it's the Chiefs. I mean, it's the Chiefs and the Bengals. For some reason, I'm not too nervous about Philly this year. I'm not really nervous by anyone in the NFC because I just don't think they're very battle-tested throughout the season. I don't think there's very... I mean, and I guess some people could say some things, the same thing about the Ravens, but I think just getting through the gauntlet of the AFC North alone is plenty of battle-testing. I don't think that the Dolphins are real. I don't think that the Bills are very real. They're kind of stuck in the middle, in my opinion. They beat up on bad teams, but... And they have some good wins, but they've lost to some... You know, Josh Allen has got his own struggles, and it is what it is there. But and they're reaching at this point. I think their window is coming to an end, at least as the team's configured today. So yeah, I'm most concerned about the Chiefs because Mahomes, is he today's like Brady, and does Lamar end up being second fiddle in the story? I'm always trying to figure out the story. Right. Like, what's the story arc?
Not the script, the story.
Not the script, right. But what can the NFL take advantage of from a story, like from an entertainment perspective, right?
Yeah.
And how long is Mahomes going to be the gravy train? You know what I'm saying?
And how long are we riding this Taylor Swift movement?
Right. that's my concern. What about you, though?
No, I mean, I think the Chiefs right now, they have to be the biggest concern. But I will say this, their offense looks to be the least potent offense that I remember them having in this run. Like their defense looks good though. So, you know, I guess it might balance itself out, but it looks like they don't trust their wide receivers. And so it's Travis Kelce and the guys, and they have no run game. So Pacheco's not getting those lanes because look, they got a bunch of guys. They changed up a lot on their offensive line. And look, we're not the biggest Orlando Brown Jr. guys, but I do recognize the fact that he can run block, and the guys they have there are struggling to open up lanes for the running back. So I don't think this is a Pacheco issue. I think it's a running back issue. I mean, an offensive line issue and a receivers issue. So they don't trust the receivers, and their offensive line isn't playing as well, both in run or pass. So I think they're vulnerable more so this year than the last few. And yeah, I'm with you with Buffalo, man. Turnover machine. Dude, I sent you that graphic. Every year, he extends his record of turnovers since he's been in the league. He's got the most picks this year. He's got the most picks since he's been in the league. He's got the most picks since any year you add. It's him. So, man, and they can't run the ball. And they think Lenny Fournette's going to make them a running team. Like, they don't get that it's organizational. It's
their mindset. Philosophy. It's a commitment. It's... Yeah. I'm going to take the high road today. I've never been a Josh Allen guy.
That's true. You never have.
Questioned him out of Wyoming. I questioned the low reception percentage at Wyoming.
Yeah. Wyoming against guys who will never even come close.
Right. Like his stiffest opponent was BYU. Ooh. Like, problem. Ah, here we go. I mean?
Any opportunity to take shots at BYU.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's stiffest competition and look. But, there was something else I was going to ask you, though. With the Mahomes thing, I agree. They're so dependent on their backs to produce like wide receivers and, you know, not exactly, but in that sort of way, right? Like to make that offense move. But yeah, they just make me nervous because they're the Chiefs. Like, but our defense is so dang good.
It is good. It is, and their defense looks pretty damn special as well. You know, I think right now the team that has me it's funny. Like, I think the best team outside of us in the AFC is the Bengals. But
yeah,
they don't scare me as much as the Chiefs because I think we kind of have their number. At least, like, I feel like our DC kind of has their OC's number. Yeah. And Monken, you know, he had what's his name? I'm blanking on their DC's name right now. But he had him absolutely clueless.
I forgot his name.
Vic or Anna Root. I can't remember his name. But he's getting a lot of love, too, as far as a head coach possibility this offseason with Mike McDonald. But to me, it's like I think they're the best team, but I'm not as scared of them as I am of the Chiefs because of Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow just doesn't strike the fear into my soul like he does. But AFC is stacked, man. But I just think the AFC North is just ridiculous, bro. And I just wonder, like, gets to the point where we have the best division and it's like battle hardened and all that, but also, like, isn't it to a point where you get kind of beat up by your own division a little bit? That's the only thing that has me worried, is that we got so many damn good teams, we got to play all these guys again, that, you know, this is gonna be a dog fight with all of them, and you start to wonder if the AFC North will kind of start to cannibalize itself.
Yeah, it is a problem, right? Because by the time you get there, if you're already limping, right? I mean, look at the way the Patriots had success for all those years, right? They had a cream puff of a division, and then they'd get the home game. They'd have to win, what, two home games to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that's basically what it was, right? So it'd be nice to have a little bit of that, and it does make it tough being in the AFC North, that's for sure. It's just Quan says, Stanley, Tyler, Marlon, Marcus, Mollett was all out W2.
Huh?
Back
up?
It's still up.
Oh, there it goes. It took a second. Stanley
was all out week two.
Right. Yeah.
I'm thinking taxes over here. I'm like,
that's true. We were way less healthy in our first matchup than we are heading into this one. Well, at least as of right now, things could change certainly. But I mean, that's a good point. This is the Ravens' health is certainly trending in the right direction right now. But things can change quickly.
We also should not overlook, obviously, the Browns, right? Like, this will be our first matchup against Deshaun Watson. He didn't play the last game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, there's obviously that factor. And,
does that make you more nervous? Or would you be more nervous if they still had, P.J. Walker at quarterback?
It's crazy because sometimes, like, it kind of sounds like you're trolling.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
The two wins.
Right. I mean, ultimately Deshaun Watson is a better football player, right? I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's something to be said about being a leader of that team. I've said it a million times. And he's just in a predicament.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be interesting. Of course, you saw Garrett. Oh my gosh. What's his kid's name? Miles Garrett. He said today he'd take Joe over Lamar.
You believe it?
Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
Hey, let's get our first guest in here then.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Let's welcome back to the show, film guru and all around Twitter warrior, for on the good guys side, by the way. Let's welcome back to the show, host of Rogue Raiders on YouTube, Cole Jackson.
Let's see if I can get the balloons or anything to show up. Nope.
Let's see. Look, balloons. I missed the start of the show. What's going on over there?
Well, his computer will sometimes react to certain hand gestures and generate
balloons and confetti.
Oh, there it goes.
For goal. Yeah!
It's so weird. And we don't know.
So cheers to you, my friend.
Apparently the peace sign on his generates balloons and confetti. So
there it is. VIP.
That's right. But appreciate you. Yes, I am, Jimbo. Yes, I am about your comment there. I'm excited to get you on here because, man, I mean, I know you must have been having just as much fun as the rest of us watching that absolute beatdown of a talented Seattle Seahawks team. I mean, first of all, before I dive into any specific players, just what's your reaction of the Ravens just manhandling them?
It feels like 2019 again, where we can just chill. Like, I remember I told you guys that during the Lions game in the fourth quarter, I was on the treadmill getting a run in. On Sunday, I went to watch the game with a couple of my buddies. We were just outside cooking burgers, you know, in the fourth quarter. I'm just like kind of watching the game. It's just a huge difference from the last couple of years where every game came down to the last minute, the sweats, the, you know, basically what that Steelers game was or the Colts game was, that was kind of the flashback. So it's been great. I mean, I love it. You know, this is a team where I want to see them dominate teams. I think they have that type of potential. And what they're doing on defense is just mind-blowing. I just literally finished recording before I hopped in here. Their pass rush, I'm sure we're going to get into it, but it's so fun to watch right now. And what Mike McDonald is doing to these offense or these quarterbacks, it's mental. It's mental to watch. Love it.
It's mental. No, it is a lot of fun. Cole, I got to ask you about the big guys up front. Tyler Linderbaum keeps getting a lot of love. He's starting to get some national pub. One of my questions is there a considerable drop-off when Morgan Moses is not there and McCary's at right? When McCary's at right, not left, but right.
I mean, McCary just had he had an eraser game. He had zero pressures allowed. He does this every time he steps in, right? Game one is always flawless. And he's just that kind of guy where he can come off the bench and just put in a good performance. So there was no drop off in this game, that's for sure. But he's proven that when it's kind of week over week, guys figure him out. Like he came in week two and absolutely shut down Trey Hendrickson, one of the best in the business. And you know, it's not like he was going against slouches this weekend. The Seahawks were second to the Ravens in the NFL in sacks. So, you know, the team absolutely balled out. But McCary coming in, doing a great job. Moses is going to get his job back when he's back, but you got to just give so much credit to Patrick McCary, who is as selfless, as humble, as hardworking. And you know, he steps in every week. It seems like it makes a difference in one way or another. It's just truly impressive.
Yeah,
no doubt. He's an easy guy to root for. You touched on Linderbaum a little bit there, Jimbo. I wanted to ask and give Cole an opportunity. What he was pretty good last year, Cole, but he had some issues. There's some areas, I should say, that he needed to attack in the offseason. So what's the biggest difference between rookie Tyler Linderbaum and second-year Tyler Linderbaum?
Absolutely. And teaser for you guys, he's going to be on The Lounge tomorrow. I believe the episode will come out on Thursday. So go check out that interview. I sent Ryan a couple of questions to ask him because I'm trying to tease out a little bit if Tyler, I'll kind of go into the details. But I put a video out, so if you guys want to see the film and see the specifics, on Road Graders this morning, 9 a.m. drop, I put out the Tyler Linderbaum video because I really wanted to focus on the two areas that I see the biggest jump from year one to year two. And so the first is the way he's processed stunts. It was a bit of an issue last year where he was kind of late. This year, and I mean, the Seahawks run their defense a lot like the Ravens, where you know, they're using stunts, they're manufacturing pressures. They had Jordan Brooks and Bobby Wagner were combined for like 9 sacks going into this game. So a lot like the way the Ravens use Roquan and Patrick Queen. So they're doing a lot of that stunt action, sim pressure, guys coming from all over. So seeing Tyler be able to react and pick up stunts all day, it was a thing of beauty. And then the second piece that I think stood out the most to people was just the way he anchored in one-on-one opportunities against the big nose tackle. So this week he went against Jaren Reed, and you saw it last year. He struggled a little bit against Quinnen Williams, a little bit against Dexter Lawrence, guys that every center in the NFL, I think just because he was a first-round pick and had all the attention around him being an undersized guy, I think people over-amplified it, in my opinion. But his pass protection has caught up to his run blocking, and you're getting a truly, truly, truly elite center now. He's top three, I would say. I think he's past Creed Humphrey, in my opinion. This year, it's him, it's Jason Kelsey, and it's Ryan Kelly from the Colts, who's put together a hell of a year. So that's who I think the top three are right now.
Yeah, and just from my novice eye, he just looks so much stronger this year too. Like, he just looks able to handle the strength from the other players, absorb it a bit better, and looks stronger. Same thing with McCary. McCary looks stronger to me this year considerably. Might be that new strength and conditioning we got going on over there. F minuses, you know, might have something to do with it. But I got to ask you this, because you mentioned that it is reminiscent of 2019. That being said, Lamar Jackson only threw for 180
mm-hmm.
in this game.
Yep,
no touchdowns, nor rushing, nor passing. The most exciting thing for me about this team is that the difference fundamentally about the performances and the way the games look is that Lamar doesn't have to be a superhero for us to just simply dominate and be the most efficient player like we've ever seen wear purple and black. for us to have a game like this. Do you feel the same way too? Like, I feel like we are not playing in a way that is unsustainable. We're very much playing the way that we should be. Our execution is just high right now.
To your point, there's no easier way to prove that than just looking at the way they're running their run game. It's not, you go back to 2019, everything was an option concept. Everything Mark Ingram did so well, it was, and even Gus, when he came in relief, it was off those options, right? Where Lamar's still a factor. On Sunday, they just ran zone a lot. And like a lot of Keaton Mitchell's big gains were just zone, and Lamar's not really part of it because... And I mean, a ton of credit to Todd Monken. I was pretty hard on him in the first half of the Cardinals game last week. Drove me nuts. Only 7 called runs in that first half when they basically played with 7 DBs and just kind of sat outside the box. The Seahawks did the same thing. And you're seeing them, you're seeing the defense respect Lamar and the pass catchers. They're emptying the box. And this week, credit to Todd Monken, he just beat that drum till the wheels fell off and they ran for 300 yards. So it's one of those things where if they're going to let you run for 300 yards, you run for 300 yards. At no point did I ever feel the run game was forced. So I think that's the most important thing.
Well, before we get to Keaton Mitchell, I got to ask about Rashad Bateman. He ends the day with 3 catches, but was close on some big plays that him and Lamar weren't able to connect on. What are you seeing from Rashad Bateman? What do you expect his role and productivity to look like going forward?
I was actually really happy with Rashad. I just put out a video at 2 o'clock, taking a look at all 5 of his targets, and he had 2. He caught 3 of 5, and the 2 incomplete passes where he was targeted were both the deep shots, but both deep shots that he got open on. So I think that's encouraging. I said it here last week, I really wanted to see them unlock that deep passing game and take advantage of that. So to see them come out and try and do that. On the first one, I just thought the safety rotated a little too hard and Lamar just kind of, it was one of those, you guys remember Joe used to do this all the time where he'd kind of air one out and it'd go like 15 yards over the guys. It was just a throwaway, but he just, rather than throw it out of bounds, he would just kind of throw it downfield. That's what I saw in the first one because the top safety was rolling over. And then the second one, Lamar just missed. Simple as that. And so, you know, Bateman didn't have as much space on that second one. He didn't, you know, beat his corner as cleanly. But I think the other thing about Bateman that people should be encouraged with were his 3 catches were both 3, you know, nice catches. It wasn't just the routine drags that he had been catching. He had the one where he was running like an up and in, and Lamar had to scramble, and he kind of came back, and Lamar, to his credit, and this is in the video, he threw it into the soft spot of zone where only Rashad Bateman, because there was 3 defenders. So it's a difficult catch where Bateman has to come completely up over his head, but Lamar had to put it there because there was no other target. So credit Bateman for going up and extending, getting that ball. And then, you know, he had that other one where he was running across and it was kind of thrown low and short because, again, that it was Bobby Wagner was standing in front of him. It was the only angle he had. Bateman gets down there, sticky fingers, catches it. I think those are the types of confidence builders you want to see because if he's, you know, after the drops, you know, you're a little nervous. Everything is harder to catch. And so to see him, you know, catch difficult ones, that's making me think the confidence is back. And that's how you build that trust with Lamar to kind of keep those targets coming your way.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I mean, Bateman – has made, you know, definitely in this game and throughout the season, I think he's made some really nice hands catches that go a little under the radar. But this is my question, Cole. If you back up, take a look at the team, 30,000 foot view, what's next? Like Glenn and I were talking about not wanting to peak. I mean, you know, not wanting to peak too soon. And I think a lot of that comes down to coaching and mind frame and things like that. But you're the coach, you know, put your John Harbaugh hat on, your Todd Monken or even Mike McDonald hat on and say, all right, What are we doing this week, right, to improve upon last week?
Yeah, I think the big thing we're going to have to see this week is to continue to be able to run that ground game. And basically what I want to see from the Ravens is until teams start stacking that box, keep running the football. But here's the key, and this is where I think the next step is going to be. Because it's going to happen. There's going to be a week. It's probably going to be against the Steelers because they always match up well with us, where that box is going to get crammed and we're only going to beat that defense by pushing the ball downfield, the offensive line holding up. And, you know, can this offense adjust to that essentially commitment from the defense to the run game? So what can they make that adjustment and then implement that game plan? And can Todd Monken make that adjustment quick? And so we've kind of seen the opposite the last couple of weeks, where against Arizona, you know, they kind of emptied the box and he struggled to adjust the game plan. This week, we saw the exact same thing where, you know, if we ran spread, it was a 5-man box, a 6-man box. So it's like run it down their throat. But to Todd's credit, he did it better. So now the opposite of that, the antithesis to that, once they're crowding that box, can we push the ball downfield successfully and efficiently? Because that's the thing about Lamar. He leads the league in completion percentage. And that's the type of move where I don't think, and I mean, you couldn't do this in 2019 either because of what Lamar was doing in the air. But even more so now, they're throwing the ball so efficiently that you can't just, if they line up and spread, you can't just pack the box. Like, you have to respect them. So just continually seeing them. And this was kind of the next step in the offense, you know, and they weren't able to do it, you know, against the Titans in the playoff game, where they needed to push the ball downfield, and you had the drops from Seth Roberts and the drops from, you know, but their pass catchers are better now. Lamar is even better now. Like, everyone's gotten better. We need that pass protection to hold up, and we need guys to make plays in the pass catcher room.
All right.
Yeah, now we got it. We got to talk about the star of the day. I mean, the only running back to go into triple digits this past weekend, Keaton Mitchell, absolutely burst onto the scene. And I mean, it seems like he's bringing a different element to this run game that you were talking about. And so I just want to give you an opportunity. What did you see from Keaton Mitchell? What makes him unique to the backfield? And what kind of role do you see him carving out for himself?
Absolutely. The thing that I criticized him the most in the preseason, and I mean, he was impressive, so it's not like I was down on him or anything. But what I wanted to see from him was hard running between the tackles. Essentially, everything from Keaton in the preseason was outside the tackle. Even if it was an inside run, he'd bounce it, right? So, you know, I wanted to see inside zone concepts, you know, counter concepts, that sort of thing, where he's running inside the tackle. And I wanted to see that be effective. And that's exactly what we saw on Sunday. And just the creativity, the vision, his cadence, where he's, you know, gear shifting, going up to the line, being patient, waiting for blocks to set up. You know, Gus and Justice Hill are completely different body styles, but they're similar runners in the sense that they hit the gap and they just hit the gap, right? And, you know, that's what always made Gus so special. That's why he works so well on those option concepts where you're kind of freezing the defense, because he's just going to right into the gap. Keaton Mitchell's kind of the curveball to that. You know, there's your fastball. This is your curveball, because Keaton's going to get up there, and you've seen it a couple times where, you know, he's up, he takes a couple steps, he gears down, and then, you know, he hits it back to the right. So seeing his ability to kind of make those reads, hit those cuts, the way he gets small in the gap, he hits it hard, his acceleration and burst. I mean, we knew that was special, but just seeing it on display on Sunday was great to see. So, I mean, he's just a completely different type of runner. And I think it's the best way of looking at it is being a really good curveball to a good fastball. I think, you know, that's tough sledding against this running game now with two different style of runners and Gus and Keaton Mitchell. And I expect we'll slowly see Justice Hill phased out a little bit. You know, I think it's going to become the Gus and Keaton Mitchell show down the road.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that both of these guys are undrafted players, undrafted backs. So shout out to the Ravens scouting department and front office for identifying and you know, nurturing these guys. Adam 78, kind of to your point there, Cole, says, do you believe Mitchell has earned the number two running back spot due to Hill with a fumble in three straight games? I mean, yeah, that's another issue as well. I think I agree. What kind of, you know, if you had to break it down from a percentage standpoint, say there's just as an arbitrary number, there's 30 run, you know, rushes to be handed out in the Browns game, right? Like, how many of these you see going to Keaton?
I think it's going to be like, because you got to factor in Lamar too, because he's still going to run a little bit. But I mean, let's say 30 called runs where we're taking out Lamar's scrambles.
Right.
14 to Gus, 10 to Mitchell, 6 to Lamar. Yeah, but then you have no Hill, right? And so it's like, where's that going to happen? And that's where, you know, I'm a big fan of committees, because again, I think the different style of runners you can get involved is important. Not a big fan of 3-man committees. I want to kind of slowly put Hill back to the depth, pass protection, special teams role he was in, you know, back in the day when they were healthy in that room. I think that's Hill in his best spot. If he has a couple plays here and there, that's where I think you can get some explosiveness out of him. But, you know, the him and Lamar at the mesh point, I don't know what the hell is going on, but the fumbles are just baffling because it's not the reason I do think it's Hill's fault is because we haven't seen issues at the mesh point with any other running back except Justice Hill. And they've been running mesh point handoffs since 2018. Mm-hmm. And that there have been fumble issues, but not at the mesh point. In fact, that was always what was so impressive in 2019 when you're getting Hill running with them, you know, or not Hill, sorry, Ingram running with them, Gus running with them, so much of those option concepts, but no fumbles at the mesh point. It was because they had it down pat. And so just to see Hill come in and then issues pop up, hard to not blame the running back in that context.
Yeah, no doubt. It's the common denominator, and that's certainly a problem. Cole, I gotta ask you, have you heard anything about what's going on with David Ajabo? We saw John not willing to really comment on it. What's going on? Can Ravens fans expect to see him at some point?
I don't think we're gonna see him back. Something's weird's going on. It's kind of like when I ask around nonstop about Tyus Bowser, and I can't even get an answer, and then the weird stuff kind of happened a few weeks ago. It's kind of the same thing with Ojabo, and so I'm wondering if we're not going to see him the rest of the year. I mean, no one's confirmed that with me, but I'm just comparing the vibe I get when I ask around. It's pretty similar to when I was asking about Bowser, and now it's November and we don't even know what Bowser's injury is. I don't know. It's unfortunate because Van Noy, Clowney, and Owe are balling out right now. Imagine adding two more guys about like that's a situation where you get three or four of those guys on the field at any given time and do that with Mike McDonald's creativity. It'd be insane. So unfortunately, I'm just not sure they're going to see him this year.
Dang.
And I will say if he was truly hurt outside the organization, like in a Bowser, sorry, I'm referring to, because I don't think his injury came with the Ravens. There are, like, I don't think legally he can say anything. He can't disclose injury information if it wasn't with the team. So that's also being kind of considered within all of this. Not relevant, but to Ojabo, but just to Bowser's injury.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you one last question. It's about the NFL in general. We're the AFC. I know you don't just watch the Ravens. What's your take on who is the Ravens' biggest competition as you see it through week nine of the season here?
I can't stop thinking about that Steelers loss, but I can't bring myself to say them. No, I would say I'm worried about that Bengals game. I'm worried about, but at the same time, Mike McDonald's matched up with them really well. I don't necessarily fear the Bills. I think we match up really well with them. Mahomes is an interesting one, but it's hard to think he's got the pass catchers, but credit the Chiefs because that defense has gotten really stout. So, I mean, the Chiefs are going to be a tough out with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. There's no doubt about that. I think it's the Bengals. I think they're the true threat in the AFC.
Miami? You know, anything about Miami?
Yeah. Again, I think we match up well with them. You know, what Miami does so well is create explosive plays with those pass catchers, and the Ravens defense has been one of the best in the league at limiting explosive plays. Mm-hmm. Just the way they're okay giving up plays, right? Like they'll give you yards, but then when you get down inside, not even inside the red zone, I'd say like inside the 40, where they can use the end zone to their advantage because you can only run so far. You know, they're using that as like a 12th defender, right? I would say they match up well with them in that sense where they can kind of suffocate them down in the red zone. And I think their D-line matches up really well against that O-line to stop the run game when they can't, you know, just focus on pushing the ball down to Waddle and Hill. So, and that's kind of what we saw the Chiefs do to them on Sunday morning.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens as this season develops. But of course, we need to make sure our guys stay healthy and keep winning. Any predictions for this Browns game before we let you go, Cole?
I think it's going to be low scoring. I'm expecting like one of those tough kind of like AFC North 2017 type games. You got two of the top three defenses in the league right now. You know, I don't know if the Ravens are going to be able to get those short fields that they got in the early contest when they blew that one out. So I'm going to go with a tight, physical football game. I hate how it sets up for having, you know, Cincinnati 4 days later on Thursday. It's just, even though they're both home games, it feels like it's setting up for, you know, a physical game against the Browns. And then you're kind of banged up, just kind of doing walkthroughs and practice. And then, oh shit, we got the Bengals on Thursday. So we're going to see that. But at the same time, you know what? I thought this was going to happen with the Seahawks. I said the Ravens would win by 3. They won by 34. So what the hell do I know?
Yeah, it should be a fun one. But Cole, thanks so much for joining us. We'll look forward to hearing from you next Tuesday. Guys, again, if you have not done so, go over to Rogue Raiders on YouTube.
Yep.
Subscribe, hit the like button. We will make you a smarter football fan. Thanks so much for joining us, Cole. We'll see you next week.
Appreciate you guys. Appreciate your chat. Peace out, guys.
All right, Cole, you're going to give us your best. Ah!
Hey, I love the effort. I'll say that.
That's an F for effort.
Have a good one, Cole. Boys. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir.
Good. Hey, at least he was a good sport about it. He gave it a try.
He did.
Sounded more like a seagull, but
guys, we're wondering the same thing you guys are in the chat. Looks like I don't know what's going on.
Wait. Man, my bad. Lost track of time. Still on. I was waiting for the link. Hold on. Hold on. The link. I probably shouldn't have read that out loud.
That's okay. You didn't say anything. You didn't read the numbers, at least. That would have been awkward. Okay, so guys, on the way. Guys, don't Anthony Mitchell is on the way. Thank goodness. Message just back in just the nick of time. I can certainly appreciate that. But yeah, it looks like Cole was smiling from ear to ear just thinking about that tape. I did have an opportunity to check out some of the videos that Cole put up. And, man, I mean, it's hard not to get excited about what this group is doing, especially when you consider how good they've been in the trenches on both sides of the ball. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You got to be good in the trenches. And if your offensive line can stay healthy, can build continuity, which is what they're doing right now, it's looking better and better every week. And then the defense is just playing out of this world. You know, I asked Cole about my matching up with guys like our teams like Miami. And I think that they rely on crazy speed, right? They rely on Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Achane, Mostert, all these guys, and Cedric Wilson Jr., all these guys that can hit these crazy, crazy fast speeds. But the problem is we got the fastest defense in football, so we can match them with speed. But what I don't know if they can match is the physicality. I mean, they're beat up on the offensive line. Armstead's been out, left tackle. And so – that's the question. Like, yeah, you can have all those fast, you know, those fancy toys on the outside, but if you can't protect Tua, can't keep him upright, it doesn't matter how fast they can run down the field because your quarterback's not going to have time to get rid of it. So I really like how everything is kind of shaping up for the Ravens. I think it's looking like right now, think the stars are aligning, Jimbo.
Yeah. I'm really having a hard time focusing here because I'm making sure we're good and prepped. Sorry, I apologize, but I agree with you. I'm not.
DK's working.
Yeah, I appreciate DK. I can't type and talk at the same time because I'm a chimp. But
he's on the Cincy Jungle right now. Who is? Huh? Come on now. Don't say that. No, it ain't true. It ain't true. I say.
Hey, it ain't so.
It ain't so. No,
but I was going to say, I agree with you 100% in that Miami doesn't really scare me. Yeah, it's the Bengals and the Chiefs and the Ravens. I think right now that's the love triangle. And I think the Ravens are the best of the bunch right now. Like I said, a lot of this is going to come down to health. We've got to stay healthy. We've got to keep Lamar healthy at the end of the season. We've got to keep this offensive line intact. You know, and we've got to stay consistent. Yeah. You know?
Here we go. Here we go. My man. Come on, Lewis. Why you gotta do that to us, Lewis? You had to trick us. Lewis was tricking us here, trying to say that he was on the Orange and Black Insiders. Why would he be on a Bengals show? How dare you? I guess he is a former Bengal, so that would kind of make sense. Let's see here if we can get
DK real quick. Is he okay turning his camera on? Do you know?
If not, we'll take just audio. If that's
Get. Whatever's best.
Whatever works. Yeah, I'm down. I'm excited though.
You want me to bring him in?
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Bring him on in, Jimbo.
Anthony, how are you, my man?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm trying to cut the camera on, but they ain't giving me an option to.
Okay. Oh, we'll walk you through it.
Oh, here we go. Jimbo, IT support.
IT support. Well, it's on right now. Do you have something covering your camera?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, this is what we'll have you do. Hop out. We're here, so don't worry about it. We're here for you. So hop out and try and just hop in one more time, if that's okay. All right, we'll see if this works.
Let's see.
Old nuclear option always works for me.
Yeah, that's what usually happens with mine. The audio won't pick up, and then all of a sudden.
Anybody know the reference from Parks and Rec when April deletes all the files, and then Andy, her husband, who's Chris Pratt, has said, he goes, I played a lot of Xbox. And he walks up to the monitor, and he blows in it like a cartridge. He goes, and then he smacks it off the desk, and he's like, try it now. And he's like dead serious.
And I'm sure it worked. I'm sure
it didn't work.
Okay. That I used to do it all the time.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, if all we get is audio, I'll take it, Anthony. No worries.
Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear y'all fine.
All right, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good. Oh, I'll tell you what, the people came out in droves tonight to get to know you and have the opportunity to chat with you. We are so excited. Look, we didn't give you I feel like you're getting cheated because we didn't give you the proper WWE welcome. The one, the only, the Super Bowl winning safety for the 2001 Baltimore Ravens.
2000.
Anthony Mitchell. 2000, excuse me. Anthony Mitchell's here in the flesh. Also, the father of one, Keaton Mitchell. Man, we are so excited to have you. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Man, no problem. I lost track of time, and then I finally looked at it, and I'm like, oh, it's time to get on. But, yeah, man, how y'all doing?
Doing well. Absolutely excited about this Ravens team. Now, I got to start by asking about your time here in Baltimore. So I got to know, what was it like playing on the greatest defense of all time?
Yeah.
And then you got to take us through the field goal return. I mean, you got to take us through that play because, I mean, it's one of the top plays in Ravens history.
Yeah, and really quickly, Anthony, there's a lot of young folks that might not know what we're talking about, but trust me, Glenn and I are OGs.
That's right.
We remember it.
That's right.
So, we want to know all about it for sure.
It's one of those deals to where – you got all linemen on the field, and we blocked one, and I was trying to get the first one, but everybody telling me, leave it alone. I'm like, man, if I get caught by a lineman or a tight end, I don't need to be in the league. If we block one more, I'm taking that to the house. I don't care what nobody say. Great. You look at the actual footage, everybody was waving me to stay away from it. I blocked them out. As soon as I seen the block field.
Hey, look, sometimes you got to trust yourself, right?
Right. And I did. I trusted myself on that one. I said, I ain't getting caught by no kicker. I don't care how fast he is. If he run a 4.3, I'm running a 4.2 today.
That's right.
Hey, must run in the family. I tell you what.
Yeah.
My goodness. I gotta ask you a question as well. We'll probably hop back and forth between Keaton and you know, you being dad and watching the rise of him. It's been so exciting. But also, you know, we really love to talk about, you know, the good old days and that dominant defense. But one of the things I gotta ask you is, what's it been like, right? Knowing from day one that your son was coming to Baltimore, like, how's that journey been so far, and how satisfying was it on Sunday to see him get his shot?
Man, the journey has been cool because he's a humble kid. Mm-hmm. When I talk to him, he understands. Like, I'm like, dude, you got to do it. He said, yeah, I'm going to do what I got to do to stay in the league. So it wasn't just about him running the ball. And I knew deep down inside when I talked to the Ravens scouts, when I talked to everybody during the draft day, that they was going to give him a shot. Because everybody I played with, from Will Demps, Bart Scott, Ed Hartwell, Chester Taylor, all those guys started off on special teams, and all of them ended as starters and got big contracts. But so I knew that he was going in a place to where he going to get his opportunity. He has the skill. It's just all about opportunity. And so that's what's the main reason why we picked Baltimore, because they're a franchise that believes in giving everybody an opportunity. If you can play, you can play, regardless if you drafted, undrafted.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
I know that's right. Yeah. Now I got to ask you, because we've been getting a lot of comparisons the way this Ravens defense is playing this year. Number one in scoring. I mean, number one in sacks, getting to the quarterback. You played, as far as I'm concerned, with the greatest defense of all time, and some are comparing the two. What's your thoughts on the comparisons between today's Ravens defense and that one back then?
If they can get close to our numbers, I give it to them, because it's more of a offense-driven league to where the rules is not nowhere near where it was when we was playing. So mm-hmm. the stuff we got away with, they can't. So it's harder for them to actually make the plays we made. So if they can get close to the numbers, I got to give it to them. It's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that is a tall task, in that from the style of the play, like you talked about, but also the rules of the game have changed so much that one of the things I say on the show all the time, the best DBs in the league take the longest to lose. They don't win.
Right.
They just lose the latest, right? Like, just based on the way the rules are set up.
And you can't touch nobody now. But
right. I mean, if you watch a Ray Lewis highlight film, I mean, he's getting fined every single play.
All those fines. So.
Yeah. I mean, every single one. It's just incredible. But I also want to ask, Glenn and I were kind of talking about this. It sounds like it was pretty premeditated that if you guys had the opportunity for Keaton to go to Baltimore, you guys had them on a short list. Did you have an influence in that and talking to him about the franchise and things like that? You talked about that a little bit, but it sounds like for sure the Ravens were on the short list here.
To be honest with you, I got to give it up to his agent, Chris Kantz. Mm-hmm. He did a phenomenal job of sending us the depth charts and sending us who gets paid if they get cut, who will make more money if they off the roster and more so on it. And so it was just talking to those, and the Ravens scouts was giving me the insight of what they was planning on carrying, what they was planning on doing at the running back position. And it was just, to be honest with you, it was a better fit regardless if it was the Ravens or somewhere else. But for it to be the Ravens and have a chance to be a part of the organization, because it was the best fit of all our choices, it just meant just that much more. I mean, you can ask for a better situation that they presented to my son Keaton.
No, absolutely. I gotta ask a quick follow up, Glenn. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, because I mean, if you look at his college stats, I think he had what, like 3,000 yards or something in 2 years. I mean, the kid was balling out, right?
Yeah.
What was the reasoning for, you know, him falling? I feel like, you know, I mean, obviously see it on the field, the proof's in the pudding.
I'm going to tell you this, and my wife will tell you too. He left the house at 190.
Mm.
He weighed in at 178. And then when I asked him, he said, "Dad, the food at the NFL Combine is horrible. All I'm is food." So when the scouts was calling me, I was like, "Look, man, he walked around every day, all day at 190.
Right.
And so him falling was because of his weight, pretty much, at what everybody was telling me. He just undersized, like even the Jets, because the Jets wanted him really bad. The Jets was calling me, but I asked the Jets scout, I said, "So why y'all pick the running back over in Keaton?" And he said, "Because he was bigger." And so I said, "Okay, bigger doesn't mean better, but we'll see."
Right.
I love it.
I tell you what, because Keaton looks like, I mean, he's a stout kid.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's not slight in any. I don't see him as a slight runner.
And he runs harder. He runs like he's a heck of a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Everybody going to be surprised how well he run in between the tackles. And, you know, when you scout him and you put the size on him, you be like, "Oh, he can't run in between the tackles."
Mm-hmm.
Ever since he was a kid, his best run was, if you ask him where he want to run, he'll tell you in between the tackles.
Man,
so it's going to be fun to watch. And what people think he can't do, he's going to be able to do. And I'm just excited for him, man. I'm excited that he had an opportunity to show the Ravens flock of what he could do on Sunday. I mean, it was one of those things. If you was a fan before now, you knew it was coming. And if you wasn't a fan, you're going to become one, because that's something that kid is prone to do. And long as he stay healthy and stay in tune to it, the Ravens, they're going to love their choice.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, no doubt. I got to say, I saw him out in the community just the day after Monday, out in the community working with some of the youth football players. He was a guest coach. So, you know, we kind of got a glimpse of Keaton as a player. But what are they getting as a community member, as a person? What's Keaton going to be bringing to this Baltimore community?
He going to bring a little bit of me. And you know, when he was young and when I've retired, that's what I did. I started my own football. I mean, I started my own track team. And he seen how I took in kids and paid kids way, you know. And I trained Keaton. I trained a lot of guys. Keaton ain't the first kid I trained or from my track team that made it to the big stage, but he was able to see how important it is to give to so many that's not able to do from they, you know, parent situation. So, you know, you can't blame the kids. So you got to show them love, and you never know who you're going to touch that's going to push them to be greater than what they thought they could be.
Mm. Yeah, I love that, man. And and I think, you know, on the football field, it's really fun to see him in combination with the other backs in that backfield. But you know, this plan here, I think that I'm a bit biased. I'm a Ravens fan, but when you ingratiate yourself in the community here, I feel like there's a lot of power that comes with that, that can translate onto the field, right? Like you can really feel that momentum and that love. And I'm sure you saw it with all the other players. I mean, I remember being at the stadium feeling the whole thing shake when anytime Todd Heap would catch the football. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like just stuff like that where we really get behind our players that are out in the community that are, you know, putting a good light on for us on and off the field. And I think Baltimore really appreciates their players for doing that. So that's exciting, man.
Hey, Jimbo, I want to add on that.
Yeah.
Anthony, I know you saw all the players rejoicing when Keaton was having success. I mean, yeah. Lamar's chasing him down the sideline, screaming at Nelly to turn around and block someone. OBJ's grabbing his first touchdown ball and making sure he gets it to Keaton. What is it about Keaton's personality that you think that made all his teammates so happy for his success?
He's a humble kid, man. He's a humble guy, and he's going to work. He's not going to do all the talking. He's not going to do his thing is to prove it through his play. And so for those guys to see that he's not there to overshadow anybody, he just there to fit in and make the team better by his play. And whatever you ask, he can do, you know. And just like the coach had him on kickoff, he had him on punt. And, you know, some of them things this is his first time doing, but, you know, he's willing to do what it takes to be a Raven, and whether he's running the ball or running, covering punts and kicks. But at the end of the day, you know, him staying humble and him being who he is a gravitational to who the person he is.
Mm. Yeah, man, that's so exciting. I'm just, how does it? I just gotta ask. Look, Glenn and I both have sons. My son is 2. Glenn Camden is 10.
He's 10, man.
10. Wow. What's it like as a dad? Like, how sweet is it watching your son just get his dues, you know, being a dad on the sideline? It's got to be a different feeling than being a player.
It is. But it's a better feeling doing being a player, because, you know, when you do it yourself, it's on you. But when you try to navigate for somebody else and it actually works, you know, because, you know, you got to think, I ain't the first NFL guy who had a kid who tried to make it to the league, but it's just the choices I help him make, you know, and it just come to fruition that it works, you know. And because, you know, everybody questioning why he going to ECU, why he ain't going to a bigger school, and I'm looking at him because ECU love him and he want to go to the league, and the only way you get to the league if you go somewhere where they love you and give you opportunity. And so and for him to be on that stage and doing what he doing, man, I tip my hat off to him, because I seen him put in the work in the classroom and all on the field and doing what he had to do off the field to stay healthy, man. It was just a lot of sacrifice for him, and it's just something he said he loved and he went after it.
Yeah. Now I got to ask you another follow-up one here. When did you know, like, you're a dad, right? So, I mean, look, first of all, I got to say, I can only imagine. So Glenn and I grew up together in the same neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We played neighborhood games, tag, cops and robbers, whatever, you name it. We played it.
Basketball
and football, all of it, right? Like, all of it. Every kid in the neighborhood has their attribute, right? That you're like, right. All right, like this kid's this, this kid's that. Dude, the Keaton's like from a dead stop to a dead sprint. Mm-hmm. It is just outstanding. Like the kid's got all wheel drive, right? So, but when did you know as a dad, like, all right, I got a special athlete on my hands, right? Was he like 4? Was he 6? Was he 16? Is there something that comes to your head?
It was a couple of moments I could tell you. When he was running track, he was 8 years old. He ran the fastest 100 time in the country. Mm. So I pulled him out of the 100. I said, you got to run a 400 because if you don't get 6 feet, you got to have speed endurance. You got to be able to hold your top end speed longer than everybody else. And then we was playing against the safety of Alabama. He went to Detroit. He's at Detroit. And we was playing against them. And I was giving some of his teammates, like Will Anderson played with us. Mm-hmm. A kid, Nate McCullough at North Carolina, played with us. And I was letting them touch the ball. And Nate dad say, man, quit kidding yourself. Give your son a ball. And sure enough, I started giving him a ball. I think he had 5 carries, 5 touchdowns at the age of 12. And I was looking. He said, Aunt, don't be trying to satisfy these parents. Your son deserved a ball. And then another one is in high school where I think, y'all not going to believe me, his junior year, he had 51 touchdowns rushing.
How many games did they play down there?
And I'm going to tell you this. At least 5 of the games, he didn't see the second half.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness. Legendary. So all of it was a simulation, basically, of it was just like you running around with linemen on the field, right? They couldn't touch him.
Yeah, and it's just, man, he sacrificed a lot to be there. So wow. I tip my hat off to him.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hey, I think what's crazy is the combination of speed but patience, mm-hmm. the combination of balance but the ability to run through all those arm tackles. I mean, I was just so impressed with, I mean, the vision. I mean, his vision absolutely blew me away. Like, it just exceptional for a guy who was basically making his first ever carries in the NFL to show all that in such a short period of time. I mean, it was absolutely impressive. But I got to ask you about I got to go back in time a little bit and ask you two things. I want to know, what was it like in the locker room during the scoreless streak by the offense, when the offense could not get the daggone ball in the end zone and the defense was still somehow keeping this team in games and winning some games? And then also, I got to get your as a second part, what's your take on Hard Knocks? I think you were a part of the greatest of all time Hard Knocks season. What's your take on it? Is it a distraction? Did you enjoy it? Was it as fun as it looked?
All right. The first one is, we loved it. I mean, Ray Lewis kept everybody in check. So the defense, we continued to have fun in the locker room. We didn't worry about the offense. One of the things we used to tell each other is, if they don't score, they don't win. If we know the offense is going through the slump, we got to have their backs. If they don't score, they don't win. And then about the Hard Knocks, I mean, I loved it. I ain't gonna lie to you. It was something special. And being a part of the first couple of Hard Knocks or the first Hard Knocks, it was just something that – it's something that you get to go look back on. And so yeah, I don't think it's a distraction. They stayed out of the way. They did. They filmed it from afar. You know, they wasn't up in your face. You know, just be yourself and don't try to go out your way of performing for the cameras.
Mm-hmm. Hey Jimbo, I'm sorry. I know I keep jumping in here. You played with a rookie, Ed Reed. What was a rookie? You guys were both. You had 3 picks that year, right? He had like 5 picks his rookie year. What was it like playing with a young? What was a young Ed Reed like?
He was special. Yeah, I mean, he was special, and he was a competitor. So that brought out, you know, you see a young guy coming in that you can't slouch. You can't let a rookie try to outperform you. It was just, you know, so he was a competitor. He pushed me, and I loved it, man. I mean, you know, the first round draft pick, and it was one of those guys. People don't realize I had 3 picks that year. So, you know, he overshadowed you a little bit. But at the end of the day, man, I had fun playing with him.
That is so awesome. I mean, you had to just like you were talking about some other guys. Yeah, I'm sure you realized pretty quickly, all right, this guy is special.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, my goodness. So what, you know, you're Keaton's dad as well. So I'm sure you do a good job of keeping him humble. Now, I'm sure he doesn't need a lot of help at that. You already mentioned he's a humble kid. But after the game, he played so well. What are you talking to him about? Like, hey, maybe we need to – oh, did he just drop?
Oh no. Uh oh.
Nah, I hope I didn't hurt his feelings.
We lost him right when we were getting to all the super chats that were pertaining.
Oh jeez. I'm gonna hit him. DK, can you? Oh, here he comes. Oh, here he comes.
Here we go.
Let's see if the camera works. Not gonna work. Wait, Anthony.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. So I was gonna ask you. I know a big part of it, I think, at least being a parent, is helping keep your kids head on straight. Right now, it doesn't sound like Keaton needs a lot of help. It sounds like he's a good kid. But what are you telling him to keep him focused, but not really keep him focused? What are you telling him he needs to improve on this coming week? Right, he played so well, but there has to be something like, hey, let's focus on this, or you know, let's work on that. Or are you just kind of hands off and saying, do your thing?
I'm the humble seeker.
Right.
So I called him yesterday to say, all right, it was 24 hours. That game is in the past. Move on to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't dwell on something you did when you got more to come. So it was one of those deals to where I was like, all right, let's put this monster to rest and move on. And continue to tell him, look after his body. You know, make sure you do the things to take care of yourself. Other than that, he played a totally different position. I'm hands off.
Mm, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like it though. I like the idea of making sure, you know, you been 24 hours. Let's turn the page. Let's move on, because the NFL is all about what you've done for me lately, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. It is. And you know, you could start off good and go cold. So in order to stay on a streak, and in order to you got to refocus. You can't be in the middle of the week still riding the wave of a game 3 days ago. So that's one of the main things I told him. Hey, it's time to refocus, get back to it, get to the Cleveland game.
Yeah, Asmodeus Thanatos puts in a super chat here. He says, I was ignorant of his game, but already a huge fan. I'm not sure if you're talking about Anthony or Keaton, but either one, we certainly appreciate the comment. But I also, let's see, Asmodeus follows up by saying, I'm calling it now. Keaton is going to have a Jacoby Jones type of play in the playoffs. Well, he'll certainly never have to buy another beer in Baltimore, just like Jacoby doesn't after the Mile High Miracle. But I got to ask your opinion on having a father who's a former player. Like, I mean, do you look at it as it was an advantage for Keaton to grow up with his father as a former player? Or because we see, like you said, a lot of athletes have children, and a lot of them try and get their children to follow in their footsteps, and many come up short. And so I wonder, do you feel it's an advantage to have a dad who formerly played in the NFL, or a disadvantage?
Well, it depends on your approach. If you approaching it to where you living through your kid, it's a disadvantage. But if you approaching it to where you teaching him the pros and cons of what he doing and what he won't do. For example, you got a lot of guys that yell at their kids for making mistakes at a young age. Well, you got guys making millions of dollars making those same mistakes. Mm-hmm. So how can you yell at a kid for making it? And one thing I did is help them stay in love with the game. After the football game, when they was kids growing up, we didn't talk about it. For what? I mean, when I'm going to yell at you and talk to you at 10 years old about a football game that's over with. So it was one of those deals to where it was an advantage, because I understood that mistakes is going to be made, and you can't ask more out of a kid than you are of an adult.
I like that a lot. I'm taking that approach.
Yeah,
that is awesome. I appreciate the clarity, man.
We're parents too, and my son's only 10, and he's growing. He's about to hit some flag football starting this spring, so I appreciate the wise words. Cakes Mitchell says, I'm gonna have to snag that Mitchell jersey. Yeah, it certainly lines up the fact that you have the same last name there, Cakes, but absolutely get that jersey. This kid's gonna be an absolute star.
Glenn, you went a little robotic. Cool. It's okay though, but I just wanted to let you know. but the other thing we don't want to take too much more time from you, Anthony, but I got to ask you, how often are you in Baltimore, man?
Me and my wife, we try to make some of the games. We didn't think he was going to play too much this week, so we didn't make it. So we trying to come up Sunday or, you know, but I know definitely I'll be there for the Cincinnati game, but trying to make it up Sunday and then Thursday game. And then we trying to schedule ourselves around his holiday games too.
One of the things I was going to mention is every once in a while we do a live show here in town at like a local tavern or something. If you're in the night before, Maybe we hit you up and you come down and join us live. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I love that. You know, nice. I'm a radio jockey. I could do the.
Yeah, I love it.
So yeah, man. Yeah, that's fine.
That'd be awesome. That'd be so cool. Go ahead, Glenn.
I think everyone's just so excited to see what Keaton can do with this. Were you happy to see? Because I'm sure you saw the rumors that the Ravens were kind of kicking the tires on some running backs around the league during the trade deadline. Were you happy to see that ultimately none of those trades came to fruition? Or did you kind of have a secret thought that, you know, that Keaton was kind of part of the reason why they weren't overextending themselves and reaching for a back?
So my thing is, to be honest with y'all, I don't think it would have mattered, you know, because he'd been in positions to where, you know, it would have been the same position he was in high school, same position he was in college. In high school, he went in, they had him at the number three back. In college, then he went in, he was the number four back. And then, you know, right now in the NFL, you know, he came in, he's going to be the number four back. But with one thing he's always been prone to do is compete. So as soon as you slack off, his competitive is going to eventually take over. So if you're not competing with him, he's going to overcome you. And so whoever they would have brought in, it would have just boosted up his competitiveness of getting on the field even more. So whatever they would have done, I think he would have been fine because he's been in a position to where he know how to compete and get himself out the hole.
I like it, man. This kid, you know, look, Anthony, you know what it's like. Some players are meant to be Ravens, right? Like I've always said, there's a few players that have gotten away throughout the league where you really think, dang, that guy was meant to be a Raven. Like Nick Chubb is one of those guys where I was like, you know, I felt like he was built to be a Raven, right? There's that Roquan when he went to the Bears. We talked, you know, we were like, dang, this kid was supposed to be a Raven. Ended up, thankfully, being a Raven. Sounds like Keaton's about the same. Sounds like the way he handles himself on and off the field, certainly built to be a Raven. We are so excited to watch him continue to excel and happy for you as a proud dad and a former member of the Baltimore Ravens to be able to enjoy that. You know, we encourage you and your wife to continue to enjoy it and of course, you know, be present in all the moments, but we appreciate you so much for coming on. I know the folks we have watching the show were super excited about it, and I'm sure they got a lot out of it. So thank you so much for your time tonight. We really appreciate it, man.
I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be sure to stay in touch if you don't mind. When we do a live show or something, love to have you come down. We'll see if you're in town. If you can make it, we'll hopefully be able to sync up.
Oh, yes, sir. No problem.
Awesome. Have a great night. And thank you.
Y'all too.
Thanks, okay. Anthony. All right. Man, how first of all, the Ravens are lucky to have Keaton Mitchell, but man, is Keaton Mitchell lucky to have Anthony Mitchell as his father. No kidding.
Dude, how cool is that? He's like, well, what am I, why even talk about it? Let's just go get, you know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's so cool.
Like, he seems like he's got the right perspective. Like, I mean, you see some of these athletes, man, you're going, oh, this kid has no chance. Like, but man, I mean, the direction.
He took the opposite of the LeVar Ball approach.
Yeah, like, and I love the message about, you know, they're not going to talk about the game as soon as it's over. And the fact that, why am I going to yell at a kid for making mistakes when we have adults being paid millions of dollars that make the same mistakes? I think that perspective is just, it's awesome, man. And
yep,
just to know that guy has been the one leading Keaton, I think Keaton's going to be just fine.
I agree 100%, man. That was awesome. Well, Glenn, the way we'll wrap up our show, of course, is giving our competition winner for this past week of the matchup. And it's no surprise. This winner is no surprise. All he does is win, win, win. So let's go ahead and put it up here, DK. How many is this for the year for one David Cutsale? Shout out. That's three times this year alone. Holy crap, Dave.
No, it wasn't this year.
Just this year, right? Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought this was a combination of this and last. Holy smokes. I mean, what are we going to have to do? Just send him a 410 Christmas tree? I mean, at this point.
Seriously, right? Just a care package?
Just a car cover?
We'll get him a car cover. We'll get him a shower curtain.
We'll get him a rug, like an area rug.
Yeah, there you go. Just with our faces on it, like I'm sure he'll love that. He'll put that in his workshop, and you know, he'll let his dog rub his butt on it. You know,
yeah.
Shout out, Dave, man. We'll make sure to get your gear over to you. Hopefully, do something special for you. But make sure you guys continue to participate in our competitions, of course, that are brought to you by BetUS. Check out BetUS using the promo code 410, or of course, you can use the link in the description. They give you 125% match up to $2,500, not $25, not $250, $2,500. Go check them out. Legal here in Maryland amongst a multitude of other states. You can do all kinds of bets. Hey, maybe take if there's an over-under set for Keaton Mitchell, go find it. Take the over. I mean, you know, it might make yourself some easy money, but to make sure you go check it out. It's a great way to have some fun. Gamble responsibly, and it's a great way for you guys to support the show. I think that might be it for us tonight, Glenn.
Yeah, thanks again to Keaton Mitchell. Thanks again. I'm sorry, Anthony Mitchell. And again to Cole Jackson as well for coming on and making us all smarter with his film breakdowns.
Yeah.
Man, that was that was a good show. And hopefully we can link up with Anthony in the future and ideally in person, which would be
Hold on. DK has something to say. Super chat. Oh, we gotta get to super chats.
Oh yeah. What am I thinking? Yeah. Dude? We got a lot here. Yeah, let's get into some of these because I was excited about Laura says, hey everybody, I'm just curious if anybody else is a little worried about Lamar Jackson, because we know how the Ravens handle these kinds of things. I don't want to hear tomorrow that he didn't practice. Well, I really don't think there's anything to be worried about with
He was running down the sideline, keeping up with Keaton Mitchell. Glenn talked about that earlier. So
yeah, I mean, he did a post-game presser. It showed no visible limp when entering or exiting that press conference. I don't think there's – I get why you're concerned, because initially when he came up, he kind of got up slow. But it looked like one of those things where luckily – I think it was Bobby Wagner took his weight off of his ankle before completely – falling down on the ground. He kind of rolled. And so I think that's what saved it from being, you know, a more serious injury.
Yep. Yeah. So no need to worry, Laura. We got this. Lamar's got this. Nick Roby says, saw Ravens two times in person, Colts and Steelers. Meh. Ugh.
Hold on, Nick. You might not be allowed to go to any more games.
Yeah, seriously. You might be the kiss of death.
We beat ourselves, though, so you might be the bad luck charm, Nick. I hate to say it, bro. You might have to watch from the bar across the street.
Get out of here, you jinx! No, Nick, we're just kidding. But yeah, man, that's a tough one. I would encourage you to keep going, Nick. Shoot or shoot, baby.
Just don't go to a playoff game.
That's terrible. Mozzie says, when you look back at the playoff defeats since Lamar's here, the defense has played well, especially 20 and last year. This time, offense better. Championship, they have to make it. Yes, Mozzie, you're right on all of that.
I think what Cole touched on it, run it until they stop you or force you out of it. But then you have to be able to throw it once they do. And we have not seen that in the past from the Ravens teams. And I think this year, Todd Monken needs to make sure that when a team decides to sell out, load the box, and dare us to beat them on the outside, we have to be able to. And so far, teams aren't loading the box because we have shown, I mean, with Lamar Jackson leading the league in completion percentage, that certainly helps. But also his ability to identify the blitz, get it to the hot receiver has been a lot better this year. And we have guys who can win one-on-one outside battles. So, but you're 100% right, Massey. Until a team sells out like the Steelers do and take away the run, and we show we can beat them on the outside, then, you know, there's still that what if.
Yeah.
Let's see here. James Lee Wiley says, all respect to Cole, but what is Lamar's record against the Bengals? Yeah, it's pretty sensational, right? I thought it was like
7-1.
Yeah, I mean, it's something crazy.
Yeah, when Lamar's healthy, it certainly is a difference maker. But, I mean, you can't disregard what they are.
Different years, right?
Different
teams, different years. They're a totally different team. Saya says, Prochet Revenge. Huh?
This is messed up. Go ahead.
Prochet revenge game. You know what that means. Take the under on all his player props. Jokes aside, do you guys see actually keeping Geno over Marcus?
I don't think they'll be able to contractually. We kind of talked about this a few weeks
ago. Can't get rid of Marcus. Yeah.
Yeah. Just too much.
Hopefully you can keep both, but you can't get rid of Marcus Williams unless you find someone who's agreeing to take on all that contract with a trade, which I think would be pretty hard task judging by his injury history since he's gotten here. But what do you think about taking the under on all his player props? I wonder if they even set player props for James Prochet. Yeah.
And don't take the under, cause it's going to be like 0.8 catches for 12 yards. So, you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah, what
in one play, he demolishes all of the
Yeah. Yeah. What are they going to set the over under at that you're going to hit under? I mean, I guess you could, but it's going to be like 8 yards.
Yeah,
over
yeah.
under. I'll take the under.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But I think that is officially it for us tonight, folks. Thank you all for coming out. We ran deep tonight.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully we're able to keep getting Anthony Mitchell on. And we will talk to you guys soon. Nice.